That's where we'll begin our study tonight. Genesis, the second chapter. I find it necessary to mention that tonight marks the halfway point in my program, working with Brother Donnie. I feel that this is an appropriate time to make mention of my thanks to each and every one of you. There is not a single person here who I feel has not said something or even given me that look of encouragement, and I greatly appreciate it from each and every one of you. This is not easy for me. Most of you remember that shy little boy that I used to be that would not open his mouth in front of anyone that was not mom. And things have definitely changed. So again, I appreciate your support and encouragement. Tonight I want us to talk about something that is very familiar to each and every one of us. Every single person here will feel like they know something, or if not all of what I'm about to tell you. Tonight, I want us to look at the roles in the family. Now, before we get started, I find it necessary to also mention to you that we need reminders. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 1, Peter told his audience that he wanted to stir up their sincere mind by way of reminders. What that tells me is that we need reminders. Peter wanted to stir up sincere minds, which I'm convinced fill this auditorium. He wanted to stir up sincere minds with a reminder. So tonight, we're going to look at a reminder, something that we all know, about God's role, or God's words on the role of the family. It's also necessary to mention that in the world today, these concepts of what the family should be are being pressed on us constantly. And they're contrary to the Word of God. Tonight, as we develop each point, we will look at what the world thinks about that particular role. And then we'll look at what God has to say. That should also remind us that God's standard, the Word, the Bible, should be our standard as well. We'll begin tonight by looking at husbands, the role of a husband. And just what is that? But first off, what is the world's concept of a husband? The world sees the husband and wife as being very similar in their roles. They see no distinction between their two in their purpose. The world will also tell us that husbands should and can be stay-at-home parents, that they should take care of the house and keep the kids if they want to, because that's their choice. The world also tells us that husbands should let their wives make a lot of important decisions in the household. Finally, the world tells us that it's okay for husbands to divorce their wives if they want, that it doesn't really matter. It's all about what makes each individual happy. I tell you that these four things, which is not even a beginning of the list of the world's concepts, are contrary to the Word of God. The very first thing that we learn about husbands and their role is in Genesis, the second chapter, and in verse 24. It says, For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The first thing a husband has to do is grow up. He's got to leave home. He's got to move on from his parents. Too often today we see that husbands let their parents run their relationship with their wives. Not to tell a story on mom, she loves to watch Dr. Phil, and it seems like there is constantly a parent there. They call them monster-in-laws, because the husband does not leave his father and mother. It's a simple problem with a simple solution. The first role of a husband is to leave his father and mother. But then what should he do? Continue looking in verse 24. He should cleave unto his wife. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. I want you to look at the verb tenses here. He shall cleave unto his wife. There's the use of the singular tense here. It's not that he should leave and cleave multiple times unto his wives. He should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Just one. The world will tell us today that when a man leaves the house, he's free to do whatever he wants. If he gets married, he's free to divorce whomever he wants. That wasn't God's idea on man's role. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. There, Paul tells us that a third thing that a man is supposed to do, that a husband is supposed to do, is to fulfill his duty towards his wife. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 3, Paul says, "Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Paul here is speaking of that intimate relationship between a husband and wife. He said, husbands, your role, one of your roles, is to fulfill your duty towards your wife. He said, stop depriving one another. We should fulfill our duty towards our spouses. The world today will tell you, again, do whatever makes you happy. If you want something your wife doesn't, then that's her problem. If you don't want something your wife does, well, that's your problem. That's not what God said. A fourth role that husbands are to have. They're to be head over their wife. Turn over to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 23. Paul again says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body." I notice something interesting here. Paul didn't give room for choice. In verse 23, he said, "For the husband is the head of the wife." That's just how it is. Now, we could find and cite passages that tell us why that is. Because of Eve's sin. But Paul simply said, the husband is the head of the wife. Today, the world will tell us that's not so. That there should be equal leadership. I'll tell you, from a historical standpoint, equal leadership doesn't work. The Roman Empire, something we all know a little bit about, had equal leadership, two men that shared power. The Roman Empire fell apart shortly after that change. God designed the husband-wife relationship a specific way for a specific purpose. The husband is to be the head over the wife. A fifth thing that a husband should do is love his wife as himself. In our same context in Ephesians, in verse 25 it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." And then in verse 28, "So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies." He who loves his own wife loves himself also. A husband is to love his wife, is to care for her, to take care of her. Developing that point further, in 1 Peter in chapter 3, Peter says we are to live, husbands are to live with their wives in an understanding way. This is a passage most of us are familiar with, but for the sake of reminder, we should turn over there and look at what 1 Peter chapter 3 has to say. In 1 Peter 3 and in verse 7 it says, "You husbands likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." God realized that He had made man and woman different. That if man was to be head over the wife, that man must also realize that He made women differently. Both physically and mentally, were structured differently. Peter here tells husbands, honor your wives in an understanding way. Live with your wives in an understanding way as the weaker vessel. We're different. He's saying, you husbands, treat your wives with respect, with care, because they're not like you. The world will tell us again, husband and wife, they're very similar. There needs to be no difference in treatment. They should treat each other the same. In a sense, yes, but not so in God's Word. We would only treat each other as fellow heirs. But in the other sense, husbands are to treat their wives as the weaker vessel. The final thing, not to say that there is not more, but the final thing for our study tonight that a husband should have as his role, is he should be the provider for his family, whether that be just a wife or children also. Turn over to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Although this is not talking directly about the husband-wife relationship, the principle still applies. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and in verse 10, it says, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in a quiet fashion and eat their own bread." Paul tells the men, work. If you don't work, you're not worthy, you're not deserving of food. How much more so for a husband? If a husband doesn't deserve food, how then will he feed his family? How then will he provide for them? The world will tell us today that a husband doesn't have to work, that the man can stay at home if he wants to. Verse 10 says, "If anyone will not work, neither let him eat." The world's concepts are vastly different from God's. But we have a standard. We have our guide. Therefore, we should follow it. Now, having seen the role of a husband, let's take a look at what God has to say about the role of wives. Before we'll do that, look at the world's concept of the role of the wife. First of all, the world sees that the wife can be the breadwinner. By that I mean she can be the main provider. She can be the one that goes out and works diligently, as the husband should, to provide for the family. The world also says that the wife doesn't have to take care of the home, the household, whether that be the literal household or the children. That doesn't have to be the wife's responsibility. I hope you're beginning to see that the world blurs the distinction between husband and wife. The world also tells us that the wife should take some authority for herself, that she should stand up for herself. And again, the world tells us that it's okay for wives to divorce. If they're not happy, then they should find another mate. I'll tell you that the role that God set out for women, for wives, is indeed similar to men and to husbands, but is also different. As we've already seen, a wife should leave her father and mother. The very same principle that applies to men applies to women as well. How can a man cleave unto his wife unless first his wife leaves her father and mother? We will not take the time to turn back to Genesis chapter 2, but I hope that we can see this point, that the wife also needs to cleave unto her husband. As we've heard before, the word cleave there is similar to the word glue in meaning. How can a husband be glued to the wife without the wife also being glued to the husband? It doesn't make sense any other way. It has to be from both sides. And also, as we've seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the wife is to fulfill her duties towards her husband. These three things thus far are all the same. But here's where things get different. The wife is to be subject to her husband. Turn again to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 24. It says, "But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." The world will tell us that this is wrong, that there should be no steps of authority in the husband-wife relationship. But God designed it. Now, this is not to diminish women. This is not to be taken as a diminishing of women. This is simply the way God designed it. They're to be in subjection to their husbands. Women also are to respect their husbands. Look over in verse 33 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. It says, "Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband." That tells me something. That tells me that with authority comes respect. The husband, being head over the wife, needs respect. Authority without respect doesn't work. In a civil sense, someone who doesn't respect authority will disobey that authority without a second thought. That ruins the system. If a wife disobeys the authority of her husband, that doesn't fall in line with the authority of her husband, doesn't respect the authority of her husband, things just aren't going to work. They don't mix. Wives are instructed by God to respect their husbands. Wives are also to be adorned within themselves. Now, this may sound convoluted, but it's really very simple in nature. Turn back over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 3, Peter says, "Let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. What we're seeing here is that a woman should not just take care of herself externally. She should be something beautiful within. That's Peter's instruction to women here. It says in verse 4, let it be the hidden person of the heart. With what? With the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. He said, outwardly take care of yourself, but inwardly adorn yourself as you would the outside, with gentleness and a quiet spirit, with calmness, with meekness. That is Peter's instruction to women. But the final role given to women is that they are to be the keepers of the home. In Proverbs 31, possibly the most insightful text about wives and their role and ways in which they can be better wives. In Proverbs 31 and verse 27, it says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. First off, she's not lazy. But second of all, she takes care of her household. Again, not necessarily just the physical household, but the children. She cares for the children while the husband is out working. She cares for all the matters at home while her husband is away. Again, this is not to be mistaken that a wife cannot work. There are plenty of examples here in chapter 31 of Proverbs that a woman can work. And in fact, it is spoken very highly of. But in verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household. A wife is to be a keeper of the home. Now, we've seen the role of the wife and the husband. Well, now let's take a moment to look at their roles together as parents. Their role together as parents. First of all, the world's concepts of parents are that they should not discipline. It is very common to hear people that are fearful of spanking their children because they don't want to go to jail. They think they'll be arrested for child abuse. It's very often you'll hear on TV that you shouldn't spank your children, that it's counterproductive, that it doesn't do any good. You also hear that you shouldn't punish children in any way. You'll hear that time out is bad. You'll hear that telling them no is bad. The world also thinks that you should just let your children do whatever makes them happy. Again, this is a quote from a popular TV show about someone who rears children for families that don't know how to do it themselves. And her guideline is that you should do what, you know, let the children do what makes them happy. That if you do that, they'll respect you and they'll obey you. That's not the way it works. The world also tells us, and this is a big one, that you should let your child believe whatever they want to believe. The world will tell you that it's wrong to try to train up a child in the way that they should go. To try to teach God into them. and to tell them about Jesus. The world will tell you that they need to figure it out on their own, and that if you do any teaching, that it's brainwashing, and you're trying to force them to be a religious person. This is not so with God. God's concept of parents is very simple. First of all, we should instruct our children. In the book of Proverbs and in chapter 1 and in verse 8, at the opening of the book, Solomon says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." That tells me something. We need to be teaching our children. We need to be instructing them about multiple matters. The book of Proverbs goes over a variety of different topics. And the book is opened with, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." We should be teaching and instructing our children. We also should be disciplining our children. In Proverbs chapter 13, a verse many can quote, Proverbs 13 and in verse 24, says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." It occurs to me that the reason the world is so against spanking is they think it's something out of anger. That's not the idea of discipline. The idea of discipline from God's own book, here in the book of Proverbs, is out of love. Look in the latter part of the verse again. "But he who loves him disciplines him diligently." The purpose is not to cause the child pain, not to cause them emotional distress, as we'll be told, but it's instead to help them, be the person that they should be. The third thing that parents are instructed to do is to train their children. Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 6, "Train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Remember the world's concept on teaching your children about Christ, about God? That's a no-no. The world will tell you, let them believe what they want. Train up a child in the way that he should go, or she should go, and you will not depart from it. Of course, there are exceptions to this rule. There's exceptions to most any rule. But God said it through Solomon, and that should be enough for us. Now that we've seen the role of the parent, let's look at the role of children. There is very, very little in the scriptures that talks about the role of children. However, we will cite a few here in just a moment. The world's concepts, however, that a child can be disobedient with little to no punishment. Remember, the world thinks it's wrong for children to be punished. So a lot of the time, you'll see a child out in public, and their parents are giving them free rein to do whatever they want, because that's what children should be allowed to do, according to the world. The world will also tell us that children don't have to be respectful if they don't want to. It's all about what the child wants. Whatever the child wants, let them have it, If that's what makes them happy, then that's okay. That's what the world will tell us. But not so with God. God gives children two specific instructions in the book of Ephesians and in chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise." First, children, obey your parents. Obey them. Second of all, honor them. Give them the respect that they deserve. Two very simple instructions. Yet children these days are allowed to overlook that. Children are allowed to do whatever makes them happy. As one just coming out of childhood, I now realize the great importance of this passage here in Ephesians. I realize that there are two sides to training up a child in the way that he should go. One is the parent's side. The parent is to train the child. And then I realized that the second side is that the child realizes that obedience to the parent is what they should do, what they should have. I realize the flip side there. Obey your parents, kids. Honor your parents. Give them the respect they deserve. Well, hear that phrase, "I brought you into this world and I can take you out." In a sense, it's very, very true. Our parents brought us into this world. Of course, with God's allowance. The very fact that you're breathing should be the very reason you respect your parents. Now, it may pop into your mind that, well, what about love? We've talked about husbands and wives and parents and children, but we haven't said anything about love. I thought love was a commandment. It most certainly is. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 7. It said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Regardless of being a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, or a child, love is commanded. Regardless of what your role is, love is most definitely commanded. We've seen tonight the roles of the family. I am convinced that very little, if any, of this material was new to any person in this room. But Peter wanted to stir up sincere minds by way of reminder. And I wanted to as well. I hope that this reminds us just what God had in mind for the family. I hope that this reminds us that the world's concepts are nothing compared to God's, and that we should not allow them to be pushed on us more and more. The family is a fragile thing these days, and it should be our goal, one of our goals, aside from obeying Christ and getting to heaven, one of our goals should be to keep the family together. God designed the family. We should respect His design and follow it as best we can. If there are any here this evening who may have need of Christ, of putting him on in baptism, being buried with him and raised up for the remission of your sins, this is your night. If there are any here who have done so, but have fallen away, have fallen short of the glory of God, of the grace of God, this is your night. This invitation is for you.